Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5. Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey guys, thank you for joining me. Welcome to the show. We're going to get to the Elimination Chamber review in just a moment with special guest Chip Collins. But thank you for joining me. I do appreciate you giving me a listen. And those of you who are longtime listeners, y'all are the best. I mean, really. You guys are awesome. Thank you for giving me a try and for listening to me if you're a longtime listener. And so we're going to get to the review and not make you wait. No plugs, no nonsense. This is Chip Collins and I talking about the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. And, oh yeah, by the way, if you want this ad-free, go to patreon.com/WWE podcast. It's the only plug. Okay, just one plug. All right. Guys, take a listen, and I will be back later this week. And by the way, I have a new segment that I'm starting. It's a WWE nostalgia segment where we look back at the past eras of WWE, whether it's the Attitude Era and the current era, or maybe even the reality era or beyond that. So take a just have a keen eye out for that. I'm going to be starting that this week as well, and I think you'll enjoy that. It's going to be a blast because I love looking back. I know I have my What If segment. That'll continue. But I have my new segment that I'm going to be calling the WWE Nostalgia segment. So, anyway, no further delay. Let's get to the WWE Elimination Chamber pay-per-view review with Chip Collins. Okay, everybody, welcome back. Thank you for joining me once again. And I have a guest right now. And we're going to cover the Elimination Chamber and how he became a wrestling fan, some of his favorite memories. And he is Chip Collins. He's from Columbia, South Carolina. And we connected here and a 35-year fan. So I just mentioned off the air that this is he's been a fan longer than I've been alive. So, Chip, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. So but we're going to get to the Elimination Chamber, and there are some really, really good things that we can talk about, and we're going to get to that in a moment. But before we do, introduce yourself to the listeners. How did you get started as a fan? What keeps you being a fan after all these years?
You know, I grew up on Crockett era NWA in the early 80s, back when the Koloffs and the Rockwell Express and Midnight Express were the big tag teams, and right when Ric Flair was really starting to make his run. Also grew up when Magnum TA really got hot with him and Tully Blanchard and the I Quit matches and that type of thing. When the Four Horsemen got their run, that was really exciting. That's what really got me going. The Four Horsemen is what really got me excited about wrestling, watching them on Saturday nights on TBS. And then, just stuck with that, kind of fell off as the NWA, that type of the NWA kind of faded. I kind of fell off of the mat for a while, kind of in the late 80s and early 90s. Picked back up in the mid-90s, back when the Monday Night Wars really got running, and have just really stuck with it ever since. That issue area really got me going again, really excited. And then just really stuck with it then, and now I think we're in a great new age of professional wrestling.
Yeah, we have – I got to agree. I mean, I did not watch all of those promotions live, obviously. They're available on the network, and once I have time, I will be able to go back and do that. But you know, what keeps you? I mean, you said that now we're in a really cool age of wrestling, and we are. We are in an age where women are now the focus of the wrestling industry, and I don't take that and say that lightly. We are in an age where, you know, we've scaled back some of the goofy sports entertainment-y kind of things for, I believe, more of a wrestling-based product. I mean, that's not to say WWE is without sin. I mean, they clearly have their moments of eye-rolling comedy at times. But as you just said, this is an awesome time to be a wrestling fan. And just because there is so much talent and the fact that NXT is really the breeding ground for the main roster. And I think that this is a time where you can look back and go, wow, I remember when I watched him in NXT and he's main eventing WrestleMania. And you can, you know, watch these individuals progress, obviously with, you know, other promotions being derived, such as AEW, which is really making a buzz around the wrestling industry. It's just a cool time to be a fan, and you know, it's not such a, I guess, shameful thing at times when people look at you, oh, you're a wrestling fan, and it's like, well, first of all, you know, when people tell me that, I say, hey, what show are you a fan of? What movie are you a fan of? You know, everything that you watch is essentially scripted and produced. So, you know, this is a form of entertainment that you love and that I love. And so before we get to the Elimination Chamber, what are just a few of your favorite memories, you know, whether it's when you were younger or even up to today? What are some of the moments in wrestling that you watch and just they just sucked you in and they really made you believe?
I'll tell you, one of the earliest things that I remember was Magnum TA and Nikita Koloff had a best of seven series for the United States title, which was really enthralling. Magnum was really just starting to make a name for himself, and Nikita was just the ultimate rush, and we were still back when the Soviet Union was really still flourishing, and so that was a great memory. And then obviously Magnum and Tully in the I Quit match was those were some of my earliest memories. You get to the Attitude Era, and just everything about Steve Austin, the Degeneration X, were I mean, it was just so groundbreaking at the time, and cutting edge, and it was really the type of TV where you had to watch every week, or you were going to miss something. Even back then, when, like you said, you know, professional wrestling fans were still kind of an underground group. Those that you spoke with, you knew you had to watch, or you were going to be left in the cold. You're going to be behind, and not know what had happened. And so as the Attitude Era started bringing things mainstream, you certainly remember the Rock and Mick Foley and, well, I guess Mankind and their I Quit match where the Rock just leveled him with so many chair shots. That one really sticks out in my mind. And now it's just, like you said, especially with NXT, the matches that they put on at their takeovers, every time they have a takeover, you can't miss TV. And now with Becky Lynch doing what she's doing, that's really been exciting. And so, and I've even been able to get my 8-year-old daughter really excited about Becky Lynch and all that she's doing, that she wants to come in. And whenever I'm watching, is Becky Lynch on? And so to the extent that they're actually bringing a house show to Columbia this weekend, and we've gotten our matching The Man t-shirts, and we're heading down to watch them this weekend.
That is awesome. That you know, there's not too many transcendent stars that you can bring new fans in with. Like you just said, if you're a wrestling fan, you know, you understand the characters, you see what's going on, but there's very few that come along that can bring in the new fans and go, wow, who's that? Who's that? Who's he? Who's she? And right now we have that person. I don't think, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, that right now I don't think we can fully grasp how special Becky Lynch is and how special of a time this is of what's happening. We can't sometimes see the forest through the trees. And with Becky Lynch right now, this is something that, just think about a few years ago, it would be laughable. Not any disrespect, but just the way the women were presented in WWE, it would have been laughable to see the women in the main event of WrestleMania. You would have said never. I mean, really, just the way that things were going. Yes, we had just dawned the birth a few years ago of the Divas, the much beloved Divas Championship, into the Women's Championship. So there was that turn. But even then, you just said, I don't know when this is going to happen, you know? So this is a time that we really need to just say, wow. And understand the magnitude of what's happening. And unfortunately, it is also up to WWE's booking, and I am fearful at times of what they do with stars, and sometimes I don't know if they know how to properly really get the fans' support and continue that momentum. Oftentimes when fans see that, hey, they're getting behind this person, I don't know if I want the corporate selection, I want my selection. So then it's a very fine line they need to toe, but so that's kind of a nice transition into Elimination Chamber. And so let's talk about the very first thing here. While we're talking about Becky Lynch, what was your take last night of what she did coming in the ring and beating down, brutally beating down Charlotte and Ronda Rousey?
Yeah, you know, you obviously knew that something was going to happen when they posted the footage from the house show of her re-injuring her knee. You knew that was going to lead into something last night. You didn't know exactly what it was, but as soon as you saw her walking in on crutches, you went, okay, here we go. Someone's getting beat down. I was a little disappointed in the Ronda and Ruby match itself, because I felt that Ruby got a little short shrift on the deal. But I understand why it was done, and I don't really think in the long run it's going to hurt Ruby. I think with Charlotte out ringside, it gives you more of an excuse to do that, because Ronda's basically trying to prove to Charlotte, look, I'm coming for you. Let me get rid of Ruby and focus on you. And so then when Becky comes in, I thought the idea of her there, you know, going to attack Charlotte and then seemingly getting Ronda to join in and then turning on her as well was so well done. You know, you could argue that, all right, she's supposed to be suspended. How did they let her get to the ring? But in the long run, I think that's a minor point that people are going to kind of look past. But I think being able to turn her on Ronda when they had been trying to build up Ronda with, well, maybe she's kind of fallen in with Becky and kind of not being a friend of Becky's, but kind of a cohort of Becky's. They showed you that, no, that is not the case. Becky is out for herself, and she's going to do whatever she can.
I think that's well put. And, you know, like you just said, she's got that injury again to her knee, which at some point I would like to see her, you know, at full strength. And I think at some way they will get her at full strength come WrestleMania, which, whether it's a three-way, and we'll get to that whole dilemma in just a minute, or whether it is one-on-one and we get the match that the fans have been asking for all year, and that is a one-on-one Becky Lynch Ronda Rousey match. And so I hope they get her to 100%. I don't want to see Becky Lynch go in there with any sort of injury. I really don't. I understand the psychology of having a babyface struggle and have a disadvantage and fight and claw and scratch, all of that. I get it, but I still want 100% Becky Lynch versus 100% Ronda Rousey, or if we have to go to the dreaded three-way, we do. And so I just hope that happens. And last night when she came in and beat them down, that was one of those beatings that you look at some of the shots that she gave Charlotte and Ronda, and you could almost feel them sitting on your couch. I mean, it looked awful. And I mean that in a compliment. And
it was very uncomfortable to watch, you know, just because she was just swinging that thing wildly, and all props to Ron and Charlotte for being willing to take those beatings, because it was, you know, you're trying to make it look real, and it certainly was real, and obviously the cut that Ronda took on her head showed that.
Once I saw that, I said, yeah, I mean, that was not a planned at all color. I mean, that happened the hard way, and you could see, if you know, you look back at the video, you can see the moment when it happened. I mean, Ronda put her head down when she shouldn't have, and Becky was wailing, and she took the shot.
Yep.
You know, some of this is just, I loved it. I loved it, and it always makes me wonder, like, Ronda Rousey's a trained fighter, and it always makes me wonder, is Ronda just going to snap? I mean, there are times where I'm sure she has to fight her own instincts and just take a beating and remind herself that this is entertainment. I mean, I just she's been trained since a young age to just be a fighter and learn how to defend herself, and she's in there getting beat down by Becky Lynch, and there are times when I'm just like, those shots have to be, you know, really making Ronda test her self-control. I mean, there are times when I think that, and last night was one of those. And but overall, I really did like the segment. As you just said, though, I mean, the Ruby Riott deal, it is what it is. I'm torn on how I feel about it. I don't think that this will be something that people will feel damages Ruby Riott for the long term. Vince McMahon often relies on the fact that wrestling fans have short memory, and you could easily build her back up with just even a few weeks of dominant performances against opponents.
Yeah, I agree. I think this was a situation where you had to have an opponent for Ronda for this pay-per-view in order to further the storyline with Becky and Charlotte. And really, at this point, Ruby is the most, besides those two, the most credible contender to do that. And unfortunately, it did have to be a short match to further the other storyline. But I don't think this will hurt Ruby. I think in the next year, you're going to see her really develop and become a main player.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm with you. But I do understand the argument of fans who are really in support of Ruby Riott and do love her work. And I did too. And when she was in NXT, I loved all of that. And I get it. But right now, Ronda Rousey needs to be a freight train. Becky Lynch needs to be a freight train. And they need to be on the collision course to WrestleMania. And that's just the way it has to be. Ruby Riott was the sacrificial lamb last night. There's no other way that could have gone. And so I understand the frustration, but people need to look at the big picture here and realize that this could be rectified in a few weeks. So what are your thoughts? Do you have a preference on one-on-one? Because we all know Becky Lynch is getting in this situation somehow. Or do you prefer the triple threat, and why?
I would certainly prefer the one-on-one. I think that's what we're building to. But I do think it's going to be a three-woman event. Now, what I would like to see in that is as we show that Vince and the Authority continue to pile up obstacles to Becky, I would like to see it be a three-way elimination match. I think that would serve both purposes. I think you get Charlotte in the main event, and as much as she's done for the women's division, it's hard to argue that for the first main event at WrestleMania, she shouldn't be there. But at the same time, this has been a Becky and Ronda-driven story. I think if you make it an elimination match, you can put Charlotte in there, have Becky eliminate Charlotte, then have Becky eliminate Ronda, and you have your big WrestleMania moment, and you accomplish everything you wanted to do with that.
You know, I heard that suggestion too. I believe it was from Bubba Ray Dudley on Busted Open Radio, and I like it. And you know what? I would take that over just a traditional triple threat where first pinfall or submission ends up winning the match. So that I would definitely take over the traditional triple threat. But, you know, furthermore, I would still like one-on-one, Becky versus Ronda. You know, if I had a preference in order, it'd be one-on-one, elimination, triple threat, and then triple threat. And then in fourth place would be Ronda versus Charlotte. I mean, we've seen it. I think, you know, I don't think people are doing a disservice by telling Charlotte that, listen, we have seen Charlotte and Ronda. You guys put on an awesome match at Survivor Series. There's unfinished business there. There's no question about that. That's not the issue. The issue is that this is Becky's year. This is the hottest thing in wrestling right now. This is something that does not come along very often, especially in the women's division. And one-on-one at WrestleMania is, to me, the only way to do this the right way. However, your suggestion I would not hate. The only thing with that would be we would know that Charlotte would be probably the first one eliminated, and you'd have an awesome stare down between Ronda in one corner, Becky in the other. The fans would go nuts. The only criticism I can have on that is that you may have, well, what damage was done to both opponents during that, you know, while Charlotte was there? So is it truly one-on-one? Who's the best woman? I mean, if you want to nitpick, you could. But I don't hate it. And it's a way to get Charlotte in there. I think they'd put on an awesome match. Still, I would prefer one-on-one. To me, WrestleMania main events should always be one-on-one.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I think we're looking at the inevitable, and that's, if you're going to do with three people, that I certainly think that's the way to do it. I mean, I think, you know, you go back and you look at what Charlotte has done in the past year since WrestleMania. She has actually only won one match on pay-per-view, and that was at SummerSlam when she was basically added to that match with Becky and Carmella, and which is where Becky made her big turn, and, you know, to become the man. That other than that, Charlotte has not won a pay-per-view match since she beat Asuka at WrestleMania last year. And I think if you're Becky Lynch, that's your argument, that look, why are you putting Charlotte in this match? She's not a big match player. I beat her at the Royal Rumble. You know, she had her chance against Ronda, and she choked and went crazy and beat the crap out of Ronda with a kendo stick, and so she lost that match. I beat her in a Last Woman Standing match at Evolution before that. I beat her at Hell in a Cell. You know, you keep going back and saying, she's lost. Why is she in this match?
Yeah, I mean, she was the runner-up of the Royal Rumble. I mean, I guess the whole storyline is that, well, you know, the McMahons are behind her, so they're trying to almost put the Roman Reigns character storyline, but bring it out in front of the camera and apply that same logic to Charlotte. And I think that's what they're doing, that, oh, she's the corporate selection, but we're letting you know she's the corporate selection, which will piss you off even more. But the thing is, and the danger with this whole storyline is that the Heat, while Charlotte is getting booed, and I love Charlotte as a heel, I think she's 20 times more confident as a heel than she is as a babyface. Charlotte heel is infinitely better than Charlotte babyface. She is born to be a heel, and I believe that. I love her as a heel. The problem is that this whole thing is, it could be putting heat on Vince McMahon and the company rather than where you want it, which is Charlotte. And so that's the danger. I still believe, and the more I think about it, I really think it will be a triple threat elimination, so that you get the best of all worlds, and everyone goes home happy, and Becky ends up winning, and all of this was for naught. Now everybody flipping out on social media was for nothing. But again, why even take this road if it is ultimately going to be one on one Becky and Ronda? If it is, why take this road? Just, you have everything sitting in front of you. This whole thing fell in WWE's lap. Why does WWE need to make this more complicated than it needs to be? It's almost as if they're trying to outsmart themselves. So if it is one-on-one, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So moving on, though, I do want to talk about something else that is much more unexpected at the Elimination Chamber that I did not think I'd be talking about, nor did anybody, and that is Kofi Kingston. Before I go any further, what are your thoughts on the Men's Elimination Chamber match, and specifically Kofi Kingston?
I thought it was great. I think it's the best Men's Elimination Chamber match they've ever had. I think you had six guys in that match that maybe not Jeff Hardy, but you had five other guys that you really could have seen any of them winning that match and not been upset about it and not saying, oh, that's just a freak outcome. I think that they all worked together so well, and I think the build for this has been very well done. We talk about the booking sometimes. I think the build for this has been very well done. I think they kind of telegraphed where they were going a little bit with the Gauntlet match last week, that with Kofi going so long in that you kind of had a feeling that at the end it was going to be Daniel Bryan and Kofi coming down to it. But that does not lessen the quality of match that those two guys put on just by themselves. I think that even though the quote unquote smart wrestling fan in me knew that Daniel Bryan was going to win that match, they did such a good job that I was able to sit there and go, gosh, could they really pull the trigger and put this on Kofi? And I think that's the mark of two professionals that do such a good job.
It really had me, and I tweeted this out, that this was the first time that I'd been emotionally invested in a match in a long time. These are the moments that you remind yourself and are reminded by wrestling that this is why you're a wrestling fan. And it's moments like that. Now, as you just mentioned, you've been watching for 20 or 35 years. I've been watching wrestling for a little over 20 years. And I just remember those moments in time that you just believe. You lose track of time. You get invested in the story. And as smart of a fan as you think you are, there are times, just like last night, that WWE makes you think. And that does not happen very often. Oftentimes, you can see you can read the tea leaves. You know where they're going most times. And last night was just such a cool moment, not just for the fans sitting at home, but the fans in the arena they really, really helped make that moment as special as it was with Kofi, even though he didn't win, with the fans you could hear it. There wasn't anybody, I don't believe, sitting down. The entire fan base was all thousands of people that were in the arena were all behind Kofi, move for move, punch for punch. And they were just invested completely, and they were beginning to believe. I was sitting there going, just as you did, that, wow, could they do this? I mean, when he hit the Trouble in Paradise, when Brian was going for the running knee, I said, oh, my God. People are now clamoring for Kofi Kingston versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. And I don't think that would be such a bad selection. And I'll tell you why, and then I'll ask you the same question. The reason is, it's a great number one. It's a great kind of up and coming story. It's a great longevity story for Kofi Kingston after 11 years of being with the company. It's a nice story for Kofi Kingston, and the fans clearly are behind him. I think he's been one of the most underutilized talents in the WWE. Yes, he's with the New Day, but they are more of a comedy act than they are being taken seriously. And this adds that level of of legitimacy that Kofi has been missing for a very long time. And bringing him to the main event of WrestleMania, I think the fans would love it. I really don't think, yeah, you could say, well, it's not a big name brand. WrestleMania sells itself. You don't need name brands anymore to sell WrestleMania. I mean, you could have an NXT-level card that no one knows the name, but WrestleMania would, I guarantee, still have the same number of network subscriptions. So if that's the reason, I don't think that's a good enough reason. I think they would put on a clinic. It would be entertaining. It's new. There's nobody on the SmackDown roster right now that, to me, stands out as a good opponent for Daniel Bryan and a new opponent for Daniel Bryan. So I would be in support of it, but I don't know if they'll pull the trigger. But you got to wonder if Kofi Kingston changed some people's minds backstage last night.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's the point you made there towards the end is the biggest thing is that, I mean, we're you know, a day short of seven weeks until WrestleMania now. So at this point, do you have time to build up a full another story, especially when you have another pay-per-view in 3 weeks that you have to make a match for? You've got to build a story for that. And then for WrestleMania, I don't know who else you would use to be the opponent for Daniel Bryan other than Kofi. That being said, I think, I mean, you mentioned Busted Open Radio earlier, and one thing they talked about today was that, you know, as well as Kofi has done this last week or so, that he's basically taking Mustafa Ali's place, and all of this was originally planned for him, it looks like. So, you know, do you come back and maybe try and, if Ali gets cleared in time, do you build a storyline with the three of them? I'm not sure, but I do think that in some way Daniel and Kofi have to be involved in that main event at this, or not main event, but the match for the WWE championship at some time.
They do. And like you said, I would have no problem with that. I understand that Kofi was nothing more than a replacement for Mustafa Ali, which to me makes it even more incredible that we're talking about it for a guy that was a replacement for someone in the Elimination Chamber. But I just don't think that, you know, if I was going to, you know, put money on it, I would think that right now WWE is not going to put Kofi in the main event of WrestleMania. And the reason is that they'll probably say to themselves, well, this is just a flash in the pan for Kofi. As great as of an athlete as he is, I mean, unless we see some consistency of fan support and fan movement for Kofi Kingston, you know, it was a nice feel-good story. It was a nice match. You have good ring psychology with those two in the ring. They're both veterans of the game. And I would think that they would need to see more than just last night, and I don't blame them, of fan support, fan movement, you know, for this whole refresh that they're listening to us now. I would think that they need to see consistency in that support. And so I think the fans are going to have a big say in this down the line.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that, you know, you could always, just because you put Kofi against Daniel at WrestleMania does not mean that you automatically have to give the title to Kofi. I mean, you could always just give them 25 minutes to go out there and put on a great show and still have Bryan keep the belt. You know, you could always do that. And that way you reward Kofi for his 11 years and what he has done, and give him that opportunity at WrestleMania. And who knows, maybe down the line at one of the lesser pay-per-views, you give him a chance and give him a shot at the title, and maybe give it to him eventually. But I, you know, there's a reason that they made that new belt for Daniel, and he's going to keep it for a while. So the question is, you know, what, if not Kofi, who and how?
Right. Right, and it just, I feel like we've seen every matchup with Daniel Bryan that, at least from a, you know, the perspective of, well, I mean, these two, we've seen these two, you know, we've seen AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan multiple times, you know, we've seen Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. I mean, Randy Orton is more, the thing with Randy Orton, and I will say this, Randy Orton is a guy that is, and I heard this, I can't remember which podcast it was, but it's a great reference for Randy Orton, a great analogy. He's the guy that's driving on the highway, 55 miles an hour. He's not, you know, he's not getting there as quick as he could, but he knows how to stay in his lane, and he gets there. And he's the guy that just is careful, and he's trying to extend his career. And I understand that. He's a guy that just feel like he's never reached his full potential and could have been if presented right. A good opponent, a formidable opponent for Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. The problem is Randy Orton's a heel right now. He prefers to be a heel. And I don't think Randy Orton's the guy you build around at this point in 2019. And so, again, but back to full circle, I think you could do a Kofi, Mustafa, and Daniel Bryan triple threat for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania and have Daniel Bryan walk away. I have no problem with that. I don't always believe that you have to have the champion pass the torch at WrestleMania. I think that having Daniel Bryan retain would be a better decision. I don't think that putting the belt on Kofi is necessarily a good decision, because where do you go from there? I mean, he's still with the New Day. To me, Daniel Bryan should be a long-term champion. I love the belt. If WWE ever sells it, I'm going to be the first one on WWEshop.com. I mean, they have a – right now, Daniel Bryan is doing very well as a heel, and I'd like to see it continue. So moving on just a couple more items from last night. The women's tag team champions, the inaugural tag team champions, Sasha and Bayley. Now, what did you think? I can't remember your picks. You sent me your picks. I believe you did select them, didn't you?
No, I actually picked the Iconics, but Sasha and Bayley were going to be my second choice, and if I had thought more about it, they really do make the most sense. I do think the Iconics are eventually going to get those titles. I think that they are too entertaining to not have them and be able to do stuff with them. But really, when you think about the inaugural titles, it almost had to be Sasha and Bayley, if not Nia and Tamina. And I just don't think Tamina's ready for that spotlight. I think the way that Sasha and Bayley have really – we talk about what a match that Sasha had with Ronda. But, you know, if you watched Bayley the last couple of months, she has really upped her game again. She got lost there for a long time, and I really feel like the last couple of months, Bayley has refound her game as well. And so I think it really does make sense to have them be the ones to win the titles and to cross over to both Raw and SmackDown and defend them against anyone and everyone. I think that it was a really, really good match. It was better than I expected, and I think everyone came out of that match looking better than they did going in.
I second that. My pick was Bayley and Sasha, and I wasn't very confident in that. You know, as I continued to get closer to the pay-per-view, I was thinking, well, you know, Nia is such a good heel, and I legitimately do not like her character on TV, which tells me she's doing what she is supposed to be doing. You know, it'd be nice if Tamina could, you know, say something, you know, in a promo, if she knows how to cut one. I don't know. I mean, she is just the kind of the Nia Jax light that is kind of behind the shadow of Nia Jax and doesn't say much, but is the equivalent of Nia Jax that they're trying to make her be. I don't know. But Tamina, as you just said, is really, Tamina needs Nia. Nia doesn't need Tamina. And the bump that Nia took through that plate glass was, that was, I mean, my God. I sat there. I mean, you could hear it. It looked like a car crash.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. I love, by the way, I love every single Elimination Chamber. Somebody has to point out that it's bulletproof glass. Ever since Eric Bischoff brought this to light, and he said it's bulletproof glass, and he did a great job selling the first time that we saw the chamber. Every single time since then, someone goes through the pod or some kind of destruction of that plate glass, plexiglass, whatever it is, apparently is bulletproof, but not immune to human bodies being crashed through it. So, yeah, I mean, look, I think that Bayley and Sasha, with all the nonsense over the last year and a half of just, like, I don't know where they're going back and forth, and fans not caring because they don't even know where WWE's going. I don't think WWE knew where they were going with it. I mean, it seemed to change from week to week, and it was getting just to the point of not even frustrating, just like, I don't even care. And so, as you just said, though, I think that now that they're a little more established, Bayley has come around with her character. In ring, I see some improvements. Sasha, with her match with Ronda at the last month's pay-per-view, they right now are, as you just said, it only makes sense to have them as champion, the first women's tag team champions. And, you know, as much as I like to see baby faces chase heels, the heels is, you know, usually are better champions, and having that storyline of the baby face chasing the heel is usually the best story to tell. But in this case, I think it makes sense. You have Sasha and Bayley as the most established stars on the roster, and you want to make a statement with the very first women's tag team champions.
Yeah, I agree, and this may be a straying a little far off topic, but you know, I can't help but notice you see a long-time veteran like Kofi, who is one of the best workers they have, getting his time. You see Sasha and Bayley earning their tag titles. You see the Revival finally getting their shot and getting their titles. I can't help but wonder if all of the news that AEW has made in the last couple of months has led to some of these things, to letting these people who are the most talented start getting their shots and really start getting some recognition again.
I'm sure it has a little bit of something to do with it. And, I don't think that it's coincidence that it's also Black History Month, and WWE seems to be giving the black superstars more of an opportunity. Although, I mean, people would say, oh, that's racist. Well, no. I mean, if you look back at the history, look back at Black History Month, there are times where they tend to bring those individuals out into the forefront more than they would the rest of the year. Whether that's coincidence, I don't know, but it has been brought up, and there is maybe something to that, maybe not. So one other thing I want to talk to you about, and I know that there's some other matches on the card, like Bobby Lashley losing and so forth, and Buddy Murphy retaining the Cruiserweight Championship. But with The Miz and Shane losing their titles to the Usos, which I will admittedly say I did not see coming. I thought it was going to happen at Fastlane, and then we'd see the split and the breakup, and the breakdown we all know is coming to WrestleMania with these two. But the fact that Jimmy Uso was arrested over the weekend, and he had his run-in with the law, I thought solidified the fact that, yeah, no, there's no chance of putting the belt on these guys, and they did. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that you have to, first of all, we don't exactly know what that situation was, and if we've seen anything from the news lately is what you first hear from some type of situation like that may not be the full truth, and you may not know the full story until much later. So I think that I don't know that really affected what they were going to do. I think that this was the perfect time to do this, and I did mention this in my picks to you, that I thought the Usos would win this match and they would start very subtly sowing those seeds for the Miz and Shane breakup. And I think that in doing it at this pay-per-view, it enabled them to start it. You're going to have this 3-week period where Miz and Shane are going to try and make up and try and make it right. And so you get to Fastlane, and Fastlane is where it's really going to snap. And that's where they will set that match for Shane and Miz. And you'll have 4 weeks until WrestleMania to really build that up. And I don't think it's coincidence that they came out and had Maryse come out and say, hey, we're expecting another baby. I'm sure that's going to be used in the storyline somehow, somewhere. So I really think this was the good way. You could have waited until Fastlane, but I think you would have had to express the storyline a little more. This gives you a little more time to drag it out and really develop it a little further.
Yeah, I think it happened. Your logic makes sense. I for some reason I was thinking, well, they'll at least have one successful title defense, and then they'll start seeing cracks in the foundation, and off to the races we go. I mean, I'm fine with it. I don't dislike the fact that Shane and The Miz lost. And to be honest with you, I don't think Shane McMahon belongs in there with world-class athletes anyway. I really don't. I mean, I don't even know how this guy's remained a babyface for as long as he has, after winning the World Cup in a very controversial fashion, after putting himself in Survivor Series elimination matches back-to-back years, after being put in the Undertaker Hell in a Cell match as Vince McMahon set that up. He's going toe-to-toe with AJ Styles at WrestleMania. I mean, some of these things, it's not believable, and it just feels so entitled of Shane McMahon, the son of the promoter, being able to go in there and play in the sandbox whenever he wants. He's not a trained athlete, at least in the storyline of WWE. He's 50 years old, and we're just supposed to believe that he can go toe-to-toe with The Undertaker, toe-to-toe with anybody, and it just, to me, rubs me the wrong way, and I would love to see a Shane McMahon heel turn. I don't think it'll happen. I think The Miz is going to be the one to play the heel here, but I would love to see a Shane McMahon heel turn. And if we all, as we all know, if you look back at Shane McMahon before he took his 7 or 8 year hiatus from WWE during the Attitude Era, he was an awesome heel with Vince McMahon. I love Shane as a heel. And since his return 3 years ago or so, he has been all babyface. And the fans still continue to support him. So do you ultimately think that it's going to be The Miz? Or do you think it's going to be Shane McMahon? Do they dare go Shane McMahon road and turn him as the heel?
I go back and forth with this. And I can see your point about the use of Shane. I will say this, though, that Shane is a guy who you know, you always know is going to go out there and give you 100%. You've got a guy who you can use at WrestleMania or, you know, some of these big pay-per-views for someone who does not have a program, who they did not have a program planned for. If you go back and look at some of his past WrestleMania appearances the last few years, it's usually, you know, what would they be doing with The Miz if they did not have Shane to use him with right now? I don't know that The Miz would necessarily have a program, because his program with Daniel Bryan had run its course. Where were you going to go with Shane or with Miz next? So I think Shane's a guy, kind of a utility guy that you can use to get a good match out of at Mania and give someone a good match at Mania who may not have a program otherwise. So I think there is that to be said for Shane. Now, all that being said, for the longest time, I thought that they were going to have Shane be the heel turn. They were kind of telegraphing it with the whole World Cup thing. And then I started getting the sense that, well, maybe they made you think that so that when you saw The Miz do the turn, you wouldn't see it coming. Now I'm just not sure. I think at this point they've really kind of done it so that you can see it going either way. I think with The Miz's new show getting ready to start up again, my tendency would be to think that maybe they are going to turn Shane heel so you can have Miz be the baby face, and with he and Maryse having the baby coming along with another season of Miz and Mrs. coming up, that you could have the lead in for that. But I just don't know.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I mean, that's what I don't mind not knowing. Sometimes unpredictability for a good reason is a good thing. I mean, wrestling fans complain all the time, oh, that's predictable. Well, if it's the right thing to do, I don't care if it's predictable. But like you said, I would like to see a Shane heel turn because it's been, I think, long overdue. The Miz, we've seen him heel basically his entire career. So I would like to see the roles flipped. I don't know if WWE will go that route. I don't think they will. I think that, you know, people are organically, for whatever reasons, you know, like Shane McMahon. And to some degree, I do as well. I don't dislike Shane McMahon. I'm just... Just at times, it's not believable that he's able to go toe-to-toe with athletes. I know that he gives it 100%, but the problem is when you look at the credentials, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, he's not on the road full-time. He's a guy that you can plug and play with, but at times it feels a little bit unrealistic. I know he has name value, and everybody knows who Shane McMahon is, and I get all that, but... Ultimately, I would like to see Shane turn. I don't think that'll happen. I think it'll be The Miz. And I'm fine with Shane versus The Miz at WrestleMania. I have no problem with it. I think the storyline's going to be very personal, so I'm looking forward to that. I think there's going to be a lot of nasty things that Shane McMahon or The Miz does and says to each other. It's going to be brutal. I think that, and I'm looking forward to that because that's a match that's going to be, I think, overlooked with so many other matches at WrestleMania. I mean, you're going to have Becky and Ronda and Charlotte in some capacity. Daniel Bryan in, hopefully, a three-way with Mustafa and Kofi as we're fantasy booking here. I mean, there's going to be some things that are going to overshadow that match, but I wouldn't sleep on it. I think that could be a very well-done match if the storyline's done right. I know we didn't touch on a few matches on the pay-per-view, but is there any other comments or opinions you have on the show?
No, I think we pretty much covered it. I do think that the Buddy Murphy Akira Tozawa match was a really good match, and I think that those guys do consistently good work. I think that 205 Live roster is very solid, and they're very underrated. It's been a good show. They've done a good job developing that. My one question as we go into WrestleMania is what they're going to do with Asuka. I'm just really confused as to what they're going to do with her. She has to have a match at WrestleMania. You can't have the SmackDown Women's title not be defended at WrestleMania. I just don't know what they're going to do with her at this point, because not only has she been missing, they haven't even paid attention to the title on SmackDown. It's all been about Charlotte and Becky and Ronda.
Yeah, it's amazing. She just fell off of our TV screen, and she's been an absentee champ. She's taken, I don't know, maybe she's hanging out with Brock Lesnar. I mean, I don't know. She's taking tips from him as far as when you should and shouldn't show up. I don't know. I mean, it's obvious that right now they didn't have anything for Asuka, and they just said, let's just take her off TV. You know, when she's ready to be reinserted, we have something for her, and we know what we're doing at WrestleMania, we'll put her back on, which I would hope is this week. I mean, now we're heading into Fastlane. And like you said, there's no explanation. I mean, there's just nothing. There's no, well, she's you know, just taking a vacation. I don't even care if they tell me that. I mean, really, I mean, just give me something. It's just the fact that she's not there at all. I mean, she's the SmackDown Women's Champion. Just nothing. Just like she never existed. And moreover, I think it's, you know, not good for the SmackDown Women's Championship. But as far as a match of who she's going to face, I mean, ultimately, I think it should be Charlotte versus Asuka, and you have the rematch, but I don't think that'll happen. I think it'll actually be some kind of multi-women fatal four-way or triple threat again. I mean, they can't do triple threats on both of the women's rosters, but if they were going to do one, to me, this one would make the most sense. And maybe it's, you know, Asuka and Carmella and maybe another caller from NXT. I mean, I don't know. I mean, right now, it's really a lost storyline. I don't know where they're going with this, but I think we'll get some clues in just a couple days on SmackDown Live.
Let me ask you this. My feed went in and out a little bit towards the end of the pay-per-view last night. I saw Lacey Evans come out. Did they do anything else with her? Or did she just come out?
I think she just came out. I did not see anything beyond that. So I think she just came out. She didn't attack anybody. So, I mean, look, could they do with something with Lacey? Maybe. I mean, but right now, you're right. I mean, I didn't see anything beyond that. So, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so, I mean, the only other thing I could see possibly would be, you know, as a way to get Becky back into the match, saying, look, you know, Becky, you're kind of, you know, jumping ahead of things here. Look, you lost to Asuka at the Royal Rumble. You know, why should you be in this match? You lost to Asuka. I'll tell you what, you beat Asuka at, you know, making a non-title match. You beat Asuka, then you can go to WrestleMania. Maybe that's a possibility, at least
it
for Fastlane.
It's just, I'm fine with that one. The problem is right now, though, that the SmackDown Women's Championship is just all but forgotten. I know it's only been a few weeks, but right now it's all about Ronda and Becky and Charlotte. And you know what? In some respects, deservedly so. But you have another championship that has built some equity over the last couple of years, and that is the SmackDown Women's Championship. Like, do something with it. Don't just pretend it's not there with no explanation, with nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. So, but look, I think all of this will be forgotten in just a few weeks when we see what cards that they're trying to play with Asuka, who that they feel might be a possible contender for Asuka. Maybe it is, ends up being a one-on-one. I don't know. But right now, it's just kind of like, well, I don't know. Oh, yeah, they have a SmackDown Women's Champion. I forgot about that. Like, I mean, that's what it feels like. It's just like, oh, yeah, where the hell's Asuka been? And it's just, it's crazy that they just made her disappear over the last couple of weeks. So Chip, let everyone know before we head out here, what's your social media? Anything else that you want to plug?
You know, I'm on Twitter at ccoll3. That's CCOLL3. I don't have a big social media presence. You know, when you're married with four kids and a full paying job, that's kind of what you do at this point in time. But you know, I'm always up for a good chat. Always up to talk about professional wrestling or anything else that's on your mind. And so that's really what you got.
Hey,
for me.
No, listen, we were just also discussing off the air. Like, I have an 8-month-old, so you know, and I have a full time job too. So those things are very consuming in your life. When you have time to do this, it's always a blast. Like right now, I mean, I had to like literally minute for minute figure out when I could be able to talk to somebody and bring them on the show because of just family life. And it's all wonderful. I'm not complaining, but it's just amazing how quickly your life changes with kids. Chip, I want to thank you again. Definitely everybody go follow him on Twitter. This has been a blast, and we'll have to get you back on the show.
Thanks. Right, appreciate
thank
it, Matt.
Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5. Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5.